Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
sweet memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you this morning for everything that we have, because we know, Father, that it's come from you. Because without you and the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we would have nothing. Now, Father, be with us throughout the study this morning. Give us the guidance that's needed and take us into the depth and the truth of this your word. Be with us now, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Change things. I had something else I was going to teach on this morning, but then the Lord brought this to me. So we'll see what's in here for us. I'm going to be talking with you from Isaiah chapter 61. All right. Beginning here with verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good things unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. Pardon me. For your shame, you shall have double, and for confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery or burnt offerings, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord had blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, and my soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden calls the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and spring and praise to spring forth before all the nations. And may the Lord add his blessing now unto the reading of this his word. And as we back up here, and we take a look at this, to see what God has for us, more than our understanding as we read, we'll see if we got a little more in it. Verse 1, and actually in my Bible, this teacher's Bible, the additions to it actually would go through the first three verses. I'm only going to take the one. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. We know that whatever we are really called for, God is the author of it. And he's also the one that will guide us as we do what he has called us to do. So that makes his Spirit with us and on us. Because without that Spirit, we couldn't do it. Just as men. Because for one, we wouldn't have the real understanding of what he's wanting. And most usually we wouldn't even know how to go about doing whatever it is. And then especially if it was something deeper, we wouldn't have the power either. So we have to have his Spirit upon each one of us. He goes on here and he says, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. You and I are to preach to all. It doesn't matter who. You know, we're not to be particular who we preach the word to. We're not to have a preference. Because we're to reach everyone. We're not to associate with everybody. Because there's things out there that they do that you and I are not supposed to be involved in. We all know that. But today we're finding more and more and more of the world associating within our churches, and that should not be done. And as we go through the Word of God, and the more we go through it, the more we're finding out how much more we are supposed to leave this world alone. And we don't stop and think, actually, about what God has really called upon us and how we are to walk. A lot of times we try to use our mind instead of our heart, and using our mind to get us in trouble. No. Because just like this morning, look at the ones we've got that are not in church this morning. What's kept them out? And when you really find out what kept them out of church this morning, you'd be surprised. It'd be simply nothing. Especially when you put it up beside God's Word. Because we need to be in church, congregating together. That's the way we learn. God uses us to teach and to share with each other. That's the way we grow in spirit and in truth. Now, since he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Well, today we can find a lot of broken hearts out here in this world, because this world is getting worse each and every day. He goes on, he says, to proclaim liberty to the captives. We all need that liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it takes Jesus to set us free. Without him, we don't have no freedom. Now, as it goes on here, pardon me a moment. Still got that trouble with my throat drainage. That'll help a little. Now, he says here, in the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And those that are out here in this world that are following the ways of the world, that everything that they want has to come from the world. They want riches and a lot of other things that they really don't need. You know, when we go to laying up for ourselves riches, when God calls us out of this world, we can't take a thing of that with us. We're going to leave it back here for somebody else. Unless he comes back first. Now, verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. We know what he's talking about here is his second coming, when he comes back to this earth. It says the acceptable year and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. We know that his second coming back to the earth for him to set up that kingdom for 1,000 years is going to bring a lot of comfort to those that have walked according to the word of Almighty God. Now those that haven't are going to find no comfort at all. In fact, just as he proclaims here in this chapter, as we get to it, here in verse 3, he says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Everything you and I receive comes from him. And our life here on this earth should be spent in doing everything we can in order to bring glory to him. Praise and honor unto him. Because look what all he's gave you and I. He gives us beauty for ashes, joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Those three things right there is more than enough to follow him for. He goes on, that they might be called trees of righteousness. Because we are the planting of the Lord. But that's what we're supposed to be. But most are not out here today. Now, here in verse 4, and they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. You know, he's talking here about double blessings from God. And that way God reaffirms his everlasting covenant with us. Think about that. We also know that this chapter will conclude with songs of salvation, of righteousness, and songs filled with joy. We don't stop and think about those things, do we? A lot of times we don't see it even as we read it. But we are to rebuild what mankind has tore down before us. Us that are walking with God. Now we see most of our churches today have been tore down. Or tore up, put it that way. They're not preaching the truth of the gospel. And we need to get these things redone by not giving in and going their way, but standing straight and strong on the word of God. Not letting things bring us down until we can get the generations back into the word of God as it should be. Now, 5, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. You know, we have to watch who we're associating with. And that is the beginning of his warning here. Verse 6. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. Now he's talking to a generation here, different from you and I. He's talking about those that are to be walking in that Mosaic law, because it was in that day and time that the Gentiles didn't have the Word of God. And he's letting them know that they'll be eating the riches of the Gentiles, because God will be taken from the Gentiles because they're not his, and he'll be given to them. For those that don't walk with God, verse 7 tells us about that. For your shame shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double, everlasting joy shall be unto them. Those that will not walk with God will have a double portion of shame. But those that will walk with him will have double of joy. And it will be everlasting joy. And that's what we're looking for, is that everlasting peace. Now, here in 8, he says, for I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offerings. I will direct their work in truth. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And we know that all of these things that Isaiah is talking about here, the last several verses here of chapter 61, has come about and has passed on to you and I. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this world in order to give us what we are reading right here and to fulfill what he has told them. And he's to make a new covenant with us, which he did. Because when we go to the Lord Jesus Christ, our covenant is made with him and through him when we ask him for forgiveness. And he'll do exactly what he promised to do. He'll not lie to you or I. Verse 9. This stankness out here, you just keep my throat running. Now, pardon me. I will, verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. And so many of us don't. We go through day after day, really never even thinking about it. My soul shall be joyful in my God. But for those out here in this world, they don't have that joy. They walk in fear, trembling, and sadness. And what joy they have is not joy that will last. No. It says, for he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. Have you been clothed today? Have you been clothed with that garment of salvation? Are you covered by the blood of Jesus? Had you been reborn and walking with your hand in his? Because for the most, they don't. They have not. They have not any of that. He goes on now. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. We are to have the garments of salvation, and we're also to be covered with a robe of righteousness. Now, how many do you see out here today that are walking like that? That you can see and know that they are covered with salvation and that they are walking with the robe of righteousness. Not many, do we? No. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorned herself with her jewels, we are to put on that salvation, that robe of righteousness, and this word of Almighty God, just as those of the world were walking with all of their armaments of the world that has done nothing for them. Nothing for them. Only satisfy their inner being and their self-righteousness, which is not getting them anything. Not covering them at all. Now, with this next one, we will close for this morning. I'm not going to be holding you long this morning. But we've heard a lot from the Lord. Verse 11. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden calls the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. And that day is still yet to come. But it will come just as all these other things that was foretold, that will happen also. Then his righteousness will rule. And we know that's coming. There's going to be 1,000 years of that. while he's here on this earth, and then just stop and think as much as you can. And you can't really even realize what it means when you talk about eternity with him. Never ending. It seems impossible to us, don't it? But that's what we are pledged right now to accept and walk toward, is that eternity. We know that when he comes back the second time to earth, all of those that have been clothed with salvation, robed with righteousness, will be coming back with him to set up this 1,000-year millennial reign. And we'll share that with him. He tells us we will. We'll help him during those 1,000 years. Here we can't imagine life even running 100 years for us. And yet, we're talking about another 1,000 years with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after that, an eternity. Never ending. What more could I want? But we have not here that does. And they're willing to trade all of that for a few moments of what they call pleasure or fun here on this earth. And to have things their way. But it's not going to work. I want what God wants for me. And I'm asking every day, Lord, keep me, hold me. I want what you want, Lord. I don't want this world. I don't need no part of it, only just what it takes for me to pass through it. I don't need to be rich. I'd like to have more money for the church so I can help more people. I don't want it for myself. I want to be able to help others so that they can find the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they stand in need of something from this world, then I'll be able to help them that way also. And that's what I ask God for. I ask him every day for that. And he'll do what he's going to do in my life. I know that. I don't know when, but it will be according to his time, his way, and just exactly how he wants it. That's what I'm looking for and waiting for. All right. As we close his word, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again we come in Jesus' name before you. And we come, Father, bringing praise to your name. And Father, we want to bring more glory and honor unto you and to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be workers, Father, in the field of harvest. And we can't do it ourselves, Father. We have to have the Lord Jesus Christ, you and the Holy Spirit in our lives in order to be able to stand and do what we need to do in this day and time. The days are growing more evil each and every day, Father, even here in our land. A land, Father, where our government was laid, the foundation was laid on your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, they turned and they took him out of every place he was in. They changed him and not living according to the Constitution which was upon your word, trying to bring in social government, Father, to lead the church, your people, the Lord Jesus Christ, completely out of this land. Help us, Father. Help us to get them out of office that's doing these things. And help us to replace them with those that will work for you, work with us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we know that for the most part, its foundation is still depending upon the law. And Father, we're praying for peace for them and a peace, Father, that will bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they will know that it is He, Father, that is their Savior, their Messiah, no other, so that one day Israel, Father, also will be known as a land for Jesus. Now, Father, for our prayer this morning and our list, I ask, Father, that as each name is called, that the Holy Spirit will touch that one and fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Jerry Coates, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Bobby Millie Johnson, myself, Sue and Dave Branson, for Vicky, Father, she closed your church because she didn't want it operating. Father, we know that you will reward her according to her actions. Father, we do need a church so that we can grow, have a bigger and better place to work from. So we thank you, Father, for what we have. We know that you will work your way in your time, and in your way. Help us now, Father, throughout this day. Be with us. Keep us safe, all of us. May the Holy Spirit work within all of our families, because we all have family members, Father, that are lost. Our children, our grandchildren, and even us that have great-grandchildren. Help us, Father, so that none be lost. Father, bring us back together this evening, back into your word at 5 p.m., Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Ah. Y'all so quiet, Dennis. Well, what you been doing? You just tell us. Huh?
Just have a sleep to do. Oh,
yeah. That'll do it. And I know several nights I didn't get any sleep. And I know the next day I was more good at all.
I sleep at least.
Now, I slept pretty good last night. I woke up this morning with this dankness. And I haven't got a cold or anything, but it just keeps this mucus running. I've fixed me a glass with vinegar and water. That helps some. At least it lets me get through.